On October 27th, two Muslim teenagers of African descent died while running from police in a Paris suburb. Since then, an uprising of angry youth has plunged parts of France into chaos. Most observers agree that a vast divide in French society has been laid bare, but from there, opinions diverge on both the deeper questions of the causes and the solutions to the problem. Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy has ordered aggressive use of police force. People on the far right are looking for Islamic extremists to blame, and the president has made vague promises to invest in social programs once the violence dies down. Meanwhile, though, the youth themselves are continuing to revolt. In an article published recently by Counterpunch, Diana Johnstone points to neoliberal economic policy as a backdrop for the current unrest. Diana is an author and commentator on European politics, and she's joined us by phone from her home outside Paris. Hello, Diana, and welcome to Red Eye.
Well, I'm happy to be talking to you. I actually live inside Paris.
Oh, very good. Very
but
good.
On the edge.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying. So tell me actually a little bit more about where you are. I know you live in a very diverse working class neighborhood in Paris. What's the mood like in your neighborhood today?
Well, it's perfectly normal. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to notice here as far as this neighborhood so far. I mean, I can't predict what can happen 10 minutes from now or a week from now or 2 weeks from now. But actually, this neighborhood is extremely mixed. It's very heavily African immigration, quite a large Tamil community. It's located in an area that's rather famous as the main area of Algerian immigration of decades ago, which is they're still there. There's Moroccans. There's a bit of everything here. It's an extremely mixed neighborhood on the back end of Montmartre, and right near the beginning of the northeastern suburbs where the violence has taken place. So it's very close to that, but really, so far there's just no sign of anything here abnormal.
Some of the commentators who've been speaking on this situation have suggested that the youth involved in this uprising are all Muslim youth of color. What's your impression of who is involved?
Well, I think some people like to identify it that way because then they can perhaps attach it to the clash of civilizations or something like that. I don't have that impression at all. That, of course, probably most of them, of the descendants of the immigrants, are of Muslim background. But that doesn't mean that they're particularly religious or that their religion has anything whatsoever to do with this, except insofar as it can seem that that's an element of discrimination against themselves, if you see what I mean. That's not the same as the religion being a factor in the revolt. That's just that if they have trouble getting jobs, having trouble getting housing, they have names that are Mahmoud or something like that, they can consider that because they're identified as Muslim, it's a discrimination against them. But that doesn't mean that there's a religious element in this, and so far there's no sign of a religious element. That's a cultural subjective factor, which is hard to identify, that is to say, you know, to read what's in people's minds. But I think that visibly, the form that actions are taking and the little of what you can hear people, kids saying, there's more of an American cultural influence in the form of hip-hop and rap and that kind of, rebellion sort of attitude than Muslims, than a Muslim influence.
What are then the social and economic conditions that these young people are facing that might unite them more than ethnic identity or religious identity?
Well, unemployment. It's as simple as that. The unemployment in these areas and these communities, the male unemployment can run to 35% or even more. It's notable that the unemployment is worse among the young males than among young women. And this is a problem in some of these communities because of the fact that the girls of Algerian and origin tend to be better in school and do better afterwards and also intermarry outside of their community quite a lot. And that can leave the young males feeling particularly excluded.
In terms of other conditions in the neighborhoods where a lot of these young people live, it was reported in the media that the two youth who were killed by electrocution were running from police and what they feared to be a police checkpoint. Is that something that's typical in neighborhoods, this kind of police presence and military presence?
No, in fact, some of the complaints are precisely that there hasn't been a police presence in the sense of regular police. This is a complicated thing. The left had started to introduce more what they call proximity police, your neighborhood police who would be there all the time and would... actually, the right wing with Sarkozy has closed down the police presence in these towns. A lot of these towns were, you know... tens of thousands of inhabitants don't have their own police station. So what happens is if there's a report, somebody reports that something is happening, they come in with these outside riot police, and that just acts as a provocation. And the riot police don't know the neighborhood, they don't know anybody, and they tend to be very heavy-handed, although not, I must say, by American standards, by United States standards, but by French standards, yes. And so this provokes more trouble than it possibly can stop or even prevent. And so there is fear of these police. It isn't a checkpoint, it's that they come in.
Speaking of the reaction from people on the right, I know people on both the left and the right are saying that this uprising signals a real failure of a range of French policies, but they're talking about this failure in very different ways. How is the right talking about this situation?
Yeah, well, you see, the irony could be that on the one hand, Sarkozy is the real villain of this uprising. If there's one thing that everybody agrees in these neighborhoods in the banlieue that seems to unite them is that they really hate Sarkozy, and that's both because of this policy of calling for tough action in the way that I've described, sending in these riot police who treat people very roughly, and at the same time his insulting language. He has done so much grandstanding about he's going to clean this up and this sort of thing to appeal to the far right voters that he wants to get away from the National Front of Le Pen in the next election. It's very clear he wants to appeal to voters who have voted for Le Pen in the past in his bid to be president. So this has been verbal grandstanding, which has, of course, been a huge provocation. The terrific irony would be if the result of all of this troubles would actually strengthen his position, not so much in the security area, but in the economic policy area, because a lot of the French right is calling for an Americanization of the social economic policies. Get rid of the state, bring down the cost of labor. That would be their way of, privatize, get rid of the state, get rid of benefits, which is what they've already been doing, by the way. Then give more authority to religious institutions, not to the extent that of Bush, and because it's quite impossible here in France where very few people are religious, but trying to use the religious institutions to replace the state in providing social and aid and at least comfort. And then finally, a repressive policy for those who don't manage to do anything but go into crime.
So is this something that Sarkozy is actively doing at the same time that he's cracking down on youth in these communities? Is he also courting religious leaders and elder leaders?
He's been doing that. Of course, there's a limit to what he can do. He is Minister of the Interior, which gives him the contact with the police and with religious community leaders, but he doesn't have any authority over economic policy in his present position. But these are the policies that his followers are advocating, and his followers and supporters, by the way, include certain United States lobbies that have been moving in and supporting him. He is the U.S. candidate. There's no doubt about that, both from the media and from actual organizations. Because the odd thing is, I think there's a split, sort of almost, the French people do not want the American model, and that was shown in the referendum and in many ways, but the elite pretty much does, and that includes most of the newspapers and the political class, who, even those who don't like Sarkozy on the left, are pretty much wanting to go in that direction because it's the direction that is demanded by capitalist the capitalist system. You must appeal to foreign investments. You don't build up your own economy, but you make it attractive to foreign capital. That's the whole principle of the neoliberal globalization. What matters is to import investment and live off exports. That's the problem in the German economy right now, is that they have depended so much on exports that they don't care about their domestic market anymore. So you can still, the businesses can still be prospering by exports, even if their own population is sinking into poverty and can't buy anything.
The government has made some claims in recent days that once the violence is brought under control, it will reinvest in social programs in these neighborhoods. Do you feel that promise is going far enough?
Well, the funny thing is that this is just a matter of restoring some of the programs that were there with the socialist government that they took away. I don't even know that they have said that they would restore all of them, but they will restore some of them. But I think that is not going to be sufficient to create enough jobs. I don't see any sign yet that they're really proposing the sort of thing that can take care of this unemployment problem, which is at the root of everything. Although, I mean, they can restore some of the jobs. There were some jobs that were created to help young people in schools to help, for instance, with students who are having difficulties and so on. And that was taken away by this right-wing government. So, I mean, they have, in fact, made the situation worse. Now they are going to reverse that, and so much the better if they do, but I think they need to do a whole lot more than that.
And at the same time that they're making these claims, the government several days ago declared a state of emergency and implemented curfews and other measures it hadn't used since the 1950s and 60s during the Algerian War of Independence. What message is that sending to the young people who are involved
well,
in this?
Well, I don't think it's sending much message to them at all. And actually, nobody's really mentioning that anymore. The curfews are being called in some towns by local authorities. There's no such thing as a national curfew. And these curfews are after certain hours for youngsters under 16 who are unescorted by adults. So it's just not a matter of a general curfew. It's simply a curfew, a limited one. And so far I don't think the repression is not so strong as imagine if something like this were happening in the United States. I think after 2 weeks of this, you would see a police violence on quite a large scale. Here, just yesterday, a group of policemen have been sort of arrested for when they were seen beating a kid in front of the television cameras. And he was not seriously injured, but he was scratched up and so on. And one of the policemen is even in jail. Now, I don't think you'd see that happening in the United States under similar conditions of rioting.
In talking about the underlying economic causes that you've mentioned, do you think that this situation is a uniquely French one, or do you think that the same kind of uprising could happen elsewhere in Europe?
Well, I just was looking at an article by the historian and demographer Emmanuel Todd, and he claims that yes, unusually French about this is that these French youth are so French that they're demanding equality. And because equality is a value of the French Republic, and it's supposed to be for everybody, and so when they don't get it, they feel justified in uprising. And I think that's quite an important observation. And again, I would compare with the United States. The images of the Katrina disaster revealed lots and lots of pockets of poverty in the United States that are much, much worse than in the banlieue. But people are discouraged in the United States. They've given up. They feel defeated. They don't feel they have rights to anything because they've failed. And you don't have that attitude here. You have the attitude of these kids that because they're French, because that they have the right to be equal to other people. And I'm not sure you have that in every other country.
Well, thank you very much, Diana, for speaking with us this morning.
Okay, you're welcome.
I've been speaking with Diana Johnstone, who joined us from her home in Paris. Diana is an author and commentator on European politics, and her most recent book is Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusions. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.